But in reality, a dream is only moments of thinking that is conditioned by different conditions. Not like thinking after moment of seeing, hearing.
But I think it can be conditioned by, there can still be hearing, for example, when one is asleep. And one can feel, experience through body sense, also hardness or heat.
Does one know at that moment that one does not dream?
No. Well, it seems like still dreaming, but there are in fact sensory impressions which condition will bring. So it's difficult to really say that it's different from thinking, except
if it's not a dream, then there is thinking of the sound which is heard, and one realizes that one wakes up instantly after hearing. One can wake up instantly after hearing. At that time, one knows that it's not a dream because one is awake. This is the difference between dreaming and just thinking after sense thoughts.
And sometimes in the daycare during the day, it seems as though there's very little sense thought operating its main mind there.
But one realizes that it's daydream, not night dream, because there are moments of experiencing different objects, like seeing and hearing, but still there are moments of daydream. That one knows it's not a dream, it's just daydream.
Mr. Chin, can you explain again the difference between thinking about, say, sound in a dream, which is conditioned by memory, thinking about sound in waking?
There is hearing this moment, and there is thinking after hearing, and one realizes that it's not a dream. Or is one dreaming now?
Well, I think there are times when we experience some uncertainty. Maybe if we are just falling asleep, maybe perhaps we fall into a dream. Is that, and it's hard to know whether one is dreaming something or whether it's a sense experience, whether it's the memory or something.
But one knows when one gets up and one asleep.
Yes, but there are moments when it seems confusion is more likely to occur.
Dozing or what?
Like dozing, yes. Where one is not certain whether they
half dream. Semi.
Sometimes one can't be sure if one fell asleep a minute ago.
Because it's short, if it's long enough, one knows that one has fallen asleep.
But is there something that distinguishes the thinking about sense experiences when we are awake and the thinking, which is conditioned by memory and dream?
When one is not awake. When one is not awake, it's thinking by, conditioned by previous experiences, memory of previous experiences.
Yes, but so is our waking. So is our thinking about sound. Memory.
We can think now of anything which is not conditioned by hearing, but we know that we are not dreaming because there are moments of seeing.
And it's not just the memory of previous seeing and hearing from some time back. It's the seeing at this moment that's been thought about. So it's a marking of the characteristic which has just appeared at this moment rather than the memory of perhaps the seeing that there was earlier in the day.
But there's a lot of that too, isn't it? Like, for example, when we look at familiar people and things, often the thinking has to do with what we remember.
And there is thinking in between, seeing, I mean.
It's also seeing and hearing, so yeah, in between. Seeing and hearing wouldn't be the thinking about the familiar things about. Could one say that the more understanding there is of thinking, now the more understanding there would be of what a dream is?
There can be awareness in a dream, but very short, because of the previous experiences conditioned such a dream.
But it could only be awareness of thinking.
There can be awareness, but very short, of any object while one is dreaming as well.
But the only object can be thinking.
It's like this moment, object can be anything.
I don't understand how, if, because we've just said that the sense door experience is a reduced effect. There is no existing when one is dreaming. There's just thinking.
It's just a memory of thinking.
When one wakes up.
When one dreams.
When one dreams, the object can be anything, like now. Because there are also the experiences of sense door.
Even eye door?
It depends. Who knows if one opens one's eyes.
Even with eyes closed. But the other week we were saying, someone was saying that even with your eyes closed, see.
Yeah, is that right? Yes, but see what? Darkness or light or...
You can perceive the difference between darkness and light, even with eyes closed. But even if there was only thinking, there could still be many other mental realities arising with the thinking. The dead secrets.
But how could there be awareness of seeing or hearing?
Yes, that's what I...
It does mean that while one is dreaming, there is no experiencing of other doorways at all. Like Pinjan just said before. There can be hearing, but there is no thinking of that sound. So one thinks that one goes on dreaming all the time. But there are moments of experiencing sensuous object in between. And if there is awareness, one dreams that one is aware, or awareness is aware of such and such object. But when one wakes up with awareness, one realizes that it's only thinking. There is awareness of thinking when one gets up, that what one is dreaming is only thinking.
So when one wakes up, one realizes that one has only thought about being awake, not
when one gets up, wakes up, there can be awareness of dreaming as only thinking.
What about while one is dreaming?
While one is dreaming, there can be different experiences of different doorways in between. Mm-hmm. But one thinks that one dreams all the time. While in reality, there can be many moments of experiences at the sense of hearing a bang, one dreams about other events.
So that, in fact, for example, if one experiences pain when one is asleep, one often dreams a story, makes a story out about the pain. So, in fact, it's not... It seems that it's not awareness of what the sense door reality is, but just thinking about it. In the same
there
way
is pain experienced, but there's thinking of story of different object. In order to understand the characteristic of nama clearly and precisely, there must be no doubt about different aspects of nama. Otherwise, it's no way to get rid of the idea of self when there's still doubt about this or that aspect of nama. Like hearing, it's easy to understand the word hearing, but it's very difficult to understand the reality of hearing, which experiences sound. Or seeing, it's very difficult to understand that characteristic which experiences visual object, because it has nothing to do with visual object at all. It only experiences visual object, but it doesn't have any characteristic of visible object in it. Usually, there is thinking through mind-dog process after sense-dog process. After seeing, there is always thinking.
So there really be no such thing as pure seeing or pure hearing?
At moment of actual seeing, there is no thinking in it. But after the seeing has fallen away, it conditions thinking. And usually one lives in one's thought more than other sense though, more than sense though. Thinking of the object which is seen, thinking of the meaning of the sound which is heard, thinking of the story of everything which is experienced. Visible object is seen, but there are many thoughts of the objects which is seen, which are seen.
Kun Su Ching, is there any difference between color and shape and form?
What is color?
Well, light.
If we don't use the word light,
visible object.
But why do we say color?
Because it seems that something conditions some kind of variation. In what is seen, that one does not just see or
can we say that it's like a sound which has many varieties as well, high and low, soft and hard. So what is seen has different shade or varieties by memory. Memory which marks the characteristic of the object which is seen. Like sanya, which marks the characteristic of sound which is heard.
And these variations define shape and form.
Right. Memory again defines it.
So in actual fact, color and shape and form are concepts also.
Is the variation of sound concept? They are different in it themselves.
Well, they can be known, but essentially they share, for example, the characteristic of all sounds. There is a similarity in the characteristic of all sounds that appear to hearing.
But is there only one sound or different sounds?
Different, otherwise we wouldn't distinguish them.
That's right.
Unless the distinction was all a concoction of now.
So it's a concept.
Today, in the Thai session, you were saying that characteristic can mean either the general characteristics of all realities or the particular characteristics of the different realities. So can we say that, and then take it further and say that with each different reality, for example, sound, physical object, again, the different kinds of that reality have also their own characteristic.
Each reality has its own characteristic.
Each reality.
Mm-hmm. Sound has the characteristic of the reality which can be heard.
But different kinds of sound also have their own characteristic.
Which can be heard.
Well, which are also marked by
sanya.
Mm-hmm. There must be something different for sanya.
It's like smell. One same smell or different smells?
Well, for example, there are pleasant and unpleasant smells.
Yeah, but if we don't talk about unpleasant and unpleasant. Mm-hmm.
The smell of rose, the smell of durian, the smell of...
Come on, say that at any moment the smell is always different. Never has precisely the same characteristic as another.
Smell is a reality which can be experienced through nose, but it has many variations or qualities.
How are these qualities perceived by sati? The sati
is aware of a reality which appears as it is. One cannot change the smell of rose into smell of durian.
How important is that distinction between variations within a sense experience, between, say, a very high sound and a very low sound. In terms of sati being aware, what difference does this make? Is this just part of the recognition when it's recognized?
Sati is a reality which is aware of a characteristic which appears as it is. That's all. Whatever appears, sati is aware of it.
So there's never any confusion about, sati is never confused about the fact that this sound is high and pleasant or low.
It is aware of that characteristic already.
But this particular, can we say, additional characteristic?
There is no need to say or to explain or to use any term to represent it, because it is aware of the characteristic which appears. There are different kinds of pain, and if it's the object of awareness is aware of that particular characteristic which appears as it is. No need to name or to call it, whether it's stingness or pain or ache.
But to talk about it like this is...
Yes, right. Softness or hardness, sometimes we don't find any word to represent it. But awareness can be aware of it as it is. And when awareness is aware of it, there is no time to name it or to call it, because awareness is aware. in that very moment. It's not the moment of thinking after, the moment of experiencing.
Seems so it's like there's an underestimation of what sati is aware of at a moment. Often when we think that it has to be about awareness, being aware of the sound, we think that to be aware of the precise characteristic of the sound as it is, whether it's high or low or soft or whatever, means something extra. Whereas if it isn't actually aware of it precisely as it is, it's not precise awareness, it's
well, talking about it like this defines sati in a more comprehensive way.
I mean, it makes sense because, of course, in daily life, what's experienced is what's experienced, and how can it be anything other than what is experienced? So, of course, the sound is going to be exactly as it is. But we're used to conventionally thinking about the highness or the lowness or talking about it, which is just thinking about it. And the purpose of talking about sati is just being aware of the sound, means that it's just aware of what is heard, just different from the thinking about it or the working hard or calling it this name or that name. But by saying awareness is aware of sound, it doesn't mean it's just aware of some neutral sound that is the only sound that's ever heard, because at each moment the sound is what's heard is different. So it has to be aware of it as it is. But we just call it sound for convenience, because if we start calling it saying that awareness is aware of a certain pitch, this or that, it's thinking about it again, as opposed to the awareness just that which is heard at that moment.
I think that it's more difficult to describe or explain the shape and form of this table than seeing it. So when awareness is aware of a characteristic, it is aware. But when one tries to explain, it's more difficult. What degree of sound or smell or softness and hardness.
And yet, Konstantin, just before you came, Dharma was saying that in your lecture you were talking about Buddha Gosha, and how it was believed that he was Arahant because of the very fine analysis of his writings. And he suggested that there is some connection between the understanding and the ability to express that understanding. Is that always the case? Or is it sometimes possible for there to be understanding and not the corresponding ability to express?
He didn't say that he is an arahata, but the other, I think, at the end of that book says something about how wise he was, and also he possessed the six apinya. And the last one is Lokutra, not Lokiya. And nobody can compare with him at all.
You think he was enlightened?
We don't know.
We don't know.
But in order to write all that, he need not have been enlightened.
If he would like to be the next Buddha's disciple,
then he would still have a lot of understanding.
It depends on his resolution. But by his writing, his own writing, he didn't say anything about his resolution to be the next Buddha's disciple. And at the end I said that one shouldn't worry about whether or not he's an arahata.
Uh,
I'm just interested in the connection between understanding and the ability to express that understanding in words or in writing. Is it possible for there to be a very developed understanding and yet there are not conditions for that understanding to be maybe communicated?
But his wisdom is so great, greater than the others, that we can say by his book.
So, I think that's a communication. I seem to remember there was some sutta about a disciple of the Buddha who was actually arahant, but he couldn't remember any dhamma. And he couldn't recite any dhamma.
So
it was like an affliction, but it didn't.
How was Buddha Kosa when he could remember so well?
Just different accumulations.
Yes.
But the one he couldn't remember, that was before his enlightenment.
Was it before? No, I... Before, was it? And afterwards?
After coming to Patimokkha, there was the... Actually, the last Patimokkha for teaching bhikkhunis after sensing. It was his turn, to exhort the bhikkhunis that day. And the bhikkhunis brought more Buddhist monk. He was said the same verse, four line verse. When I begin, I'd be very bored. And so when he came to give the instruction to the bhikkhunis, they were thinking astray, and he read their minds and saw that they weren't paying attention because of judging him. So then he decided that he would change his position, and he rose up into the air, and while saying the same verse over and over again, he performed different miracles, lying, sitting, standing, walking, things like this. And the bhikkhunis were so amazed that they stayed there until after sunset, and when they went to return from the monastery back to the nunnery in the town, the gates were closed and they couldn't enter, and they could only enter the next morning, and they were criticized by many disciples who thought that the bhikkhunis were there to close the monks and staying out of the village at night. And so they put a red line in school that monks should not exalt bhikkhunis after sunset, but it was the same arahata. So one can see that we still have a problem of being able to explain in detail.
What's his name?
I did say after his enlightenment that when he went to the meal during the Buddha and the other monks at the invitation to the meal, that he was asked by the Buddha to give the Dharma to the end of the meal, and it said that he ranged over the whole Pitaka in his giving the Dharma.
Visible objects. Is it enough just to know that what is heard is the sound precisely as it is, whatever its nature? Or is it necessary to know anything else in theory about any difference? Or is that just thinking?
Nothing else. What else?
So really, if one understands what it means, all that it's necessary to know is that awareness can be aware of the sound as it is.
As long as there is the understanding that sound is a reality and the experience of sound is a reality, not sound. That's it. there is really the understanding of nama and rupa, which are not sight.
The trouble is that usually there isn't the right understanding when one hears it, which is why there's so much confusion, that when people hear that awareness is aware of sound, it sounds so obvious, but it's totally misunderstood.
Usually there is thinking about what is the object which is experienced, instead of being aware and understanding at the moment of awareness. The understanding, the seeing, is a reality which experiences visual object, can be before or after moment of awareness. So one learns to understand that there can be the understanding with awareness, not before, not after. If it's before, it's only thinking about seeing, and when it's after, it's again thinking about seeing. So one learns to understand the meaning of studying with awareness, another level of studying. If there is no understanding with awareness, there is only intellectual understanding, then no development of direct understanding.
Still, one has to get it quite clear intellectually that exactly what it's meant by sound, for example, because if one has some idea of just some neutral sound, or it's something other than its precise characteristic, then it means there are going to be no conditions for any awareness to be aware of it.
Like this moment, there is not only sound, there's also thinking or defining, thinking in words as well. So when there is awareness, awareness is aware of a characteristic, whether it's sound or hearing or thinking. That's why even awareness has to develop, because it's not keen, it's not skillful from the very beginning. Without studying, one cannot tell that awareness is aware of sound, or of hearing, or of thinking.
But if one didn't know the difference, there could be no awareness, I think.
Mm-hmm. Awareness just begins to develop by being aware, little by little, but it's not precise.
Do you think that awareness can begin even when the distinction between hearing and sound and thinking is not clear? Or is it awareness which helps one to distinguish them? Is that perhaps the way to put it?
Usually there is hearing sound.
Yes.
And there is no awareness of hearing, usually. But one understands what sound is. So usually there is awareness of sound, little by little. But there is no precise understanding whether it's awareness of sound, or of thinking, or of hearing, until awareness develops. For example, sound appears. Nobody does not know that it's sound, but is there awareness of it that one can say surely that there is awareness of sound? But since one knows what sound is, awareness begins to be aware of sound, not of thinking of the meaning or defining sound yet.
Interesting. When you say when one knows what sound is, do you mean intellectually knows?
Intellectual. There is confusion when there's doubt whether it's seeing or sound. because one thinks that one knows sound, but when one knows about thinking, there is doubt whether the object is sound or it's hearing. So there is doubt about the object. That's why awareness develops by being aware of a characteristic which appears as it is. Sound is sound, very natural, like now, this moment of hearing. Hearing has nothing to do with sound. It's quite different, totally different from sound. It experiences sound. So there is a reality which experiences an object all the time. Sometimes it experiences sound, sometimes it experiences visual object, sometimes it experiences idea or concept. Sometimes it experiences softness or hardness. But that reality is a reality which experiences an object. So it's totally different from visual object and sound.
I used to think that the condition for awareness to arise in the first place was knowing the difference between these realities. It seems that that's not really so, that awareness as it develops helps one to distinguish between these different realities.
The intellectual understanding
understands
that seeing is not visual object. But is it the direct awareness with understanding when they're seeing?
No, it's not.
If there's awareness of sound, is there any knowing about sense door or mind door, is that just thinking?
One does not have to name that it's ear door, because that object is experienced through ear door already.
When one talks about ear door, is it just a concept
of reality which conditions the hearing of sound?
Can there be awareness of ear door?
If it appears only. If it does not appear, don't try. No use. Why not the object which appears?
I was wondering if that is where, just of the characteristic, whether it's why it's necessary to know which doorway at all or not necessary.
It's thinking, not experiencing.
So is it, when we talk about awareness, being aware of sound, is it necessary to even think that it's experienced through the ear door?
There is thinking that we cannot stop it. But there must be direct awareness again of thinking as only a reality which thinks. That's why it takes such a long time to develop direct understanding with direct awareness.
Many doctors.
Sure.
What was the simile about? The other day about the mountain and the pebble, is it? Throw a pebble every 100 years?
Take a pebble
out
of it.
Take every 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gamma.
How big is the mountain?
The tallest, biggest mountain. Mount Meru, was it?
But I think that in Tipitaka is Pebula. Not Simenu, but even Simenu can be similar. it doesn't matter, just yesterday and today and tomorrow. On and on and on, never end. As the avidya and tanha, life will continue on. Okay. No awareness of seeing now, so there must be seeing again and again.
Something we never get tired of. Mm-hmm.
So we must have it all the time. Mm-hmm. Why does one want to have kusala?
Why does one want to have wholesomeness?
Is it not more enjoyable to enjoy life? And enjoying life is not kusala. So why does one want kusala? Is it because one understands that it's better than unwholesomeness, akusala? Or is it because one just wants to eradicate unwholesomeness? Is it suffering to see? Is it suffering to see? To hear? So as long as there is no direct experiencing of the impermanency, the arising and falling away of seeing and hearing, one cannot say that it's dukkha or it's suffering to see, to hear. And the kusala at level of dana, generosity, or sila, or samatha, tranquility, cannot eradicate suffering. Only right understanding, the direct understanding with awareness, can eradicate it. That's why there should be the development of sati, or awareness, and developing right understanding as well. When awareness is aware of a reality, there should be direct understanding of that object develops. Otherwise, it's only intellectual understanding of suffering, but it's not the direct experiencing of suffering, of the arising and falling away of a reality which appears now, arises and falls away all the time. The higher or highest one. There are many levels of wholesomeness, not just one level. And it's not easy to experience the arising and falling away of any reality. It's the quite highly developed right understanding with direct awareness. So one begins with being aware or developing awareness of a reality which appears, and there must be some understanding develops as well at moment of being aware of an object which appears now. Because each moment is only a conditioned moment, a conditioned reality. Thank you. it does not stay. No conditioned reality can stay. Without direct awareness, there cannot be the direct experiencing of the arising and falling away of each moment. Objects passed without awareness and right understanding of them. But awareness can be aware of any one of them when there are conditions for awareness to arise. So it's not expectation, it's practical. It's not expectation. It's moment of awareness of a reality and study or understand it. One can say that hardness is not my body, it's not anything at all. But when there's awareness of hardness now, for example, is there any understanding of that characteristic not as I, not a thing in it, just hardness? And seeing is not hard, it's not hardness, it's another reality experienced by another moment, different kind of reality, which can experience only visual object. That reality cannot experience hardness. Different ones all the time of experiencing. When will there be the direct experiencing of the arising and falling away of each reality which appears now? If there is no development from now on, so begin. If there is no understanding of the right object of right awareness, how can there be right awareness of right object? What is right object at this moment? Seeing is right object of awareness. Hearing, when it appears, when it hears, is right object of right awareness. All realities which appear now are the right objects of right awareness, if it arises.
Is the intellectual understanding anything more than thinking in the right way?
What do you mean by intellectual understanding?
Considering at this moment.
Without considering, there cannot be understanding either. So the beginning is the moment of understanding, moments with awareness and moments without awareness. There can be seeing without awareness, hearing without awareness, but sometimes when there is hearing, there is awareness, moment of studying, beginning to understand what reality it is. Another level of studying. Studying with awareness is different from reading, hearing, and considering. One learns to know what this object is by more and study. There is studying as well in order to know what the object is. So when there is awareness of a characteristic which appears, there is studying, the beginning to understand, very little by little from the very beginning. Because it's like learning new thing, that one hasn't learnt before, because it's the learning of the characteristic which is not self. Which is only an experience, a reality which experiences an object. The object is not the experiencing, and the experiencing is not the object which is experienced. And the object is not far away, so near and so close to oneself, to one's experience all the time. Seeing is now, hearing is now, hardness, softness, so close. There is object appearing all the time because there is experiencing all the time. One doesn't have to go away or look for other object at other place at all. It can be now, any object, any moment. Hardness now is not different from hardness in heaven, in hell, or yesterday, or last year. Without the development of awareness, hardness appears, but without the understanding of its characteristic as a reality which is conditioned, arising and falling away. It's impossible to eradicate the idea of self because self is there at the moment of thinking.
Discussion at Wat Bawan, 21st of April 1980.
That indeed is our aim, but there is the danger that if one thinks that in order to develop one needs to have more kusala and less akusala, then, as I said, the danger that one does not want to see the akusala moments in oneself.
Which is said also whereas, in subject of me.
Whereas, yes.
In self-identity, self-interest.
Yes. In fact, the development of awareness and understanding means, I think, seeing more moments of akusala in ourselves, not only the gross attachment and aversion, but also the more subtle moments of that.
Can you explain what the kusala and akusala means?
I think Venerable Bhante could explain.
Kusala and akusala are power terms and meaning wholesome actions which are moving towards harmony and integration. And akusala, unharmonious and distortive actions which are not leading to the integration. Wholesome in the sense of bringing together or removing one more in a way of togetherness to that what is, basically.
Excuse me, Bhante, you referred to when we have the idea of will to do, how often this is the idea of self behind it. I wondered when you were referring to directing one's mind, if that also doesn't imply...